Welcome to the internet broadcast of Big Z Sports.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast and Facebook Live presented by Speedy Septic in Strasburg. Chris Kale, Joe Geckler. Chris, a big weekend we just had. The Buckeyes, we'll start there. Obviously, high school football is done for us. But college football, the Buckeyes on Saturday did what they had to do, and they blew out Illinois. 52-14 was the final in that game. It was really over in the first quarter. The Buckeyes scored 28 points in the first quarter. Essentially, the game was over there. Then the monsoon hurricane rain came in the second half, which was crazy. But the Buckeyes played well. Their second team played well. But you know what? They did what they're supposed to against Illinois. They did not cover the spread, unfortunately.
Other than the pick and the fumble.
Yeah, but the conditions, man.
Oh, I know. Ridiculous. I agree with you.
I mean, they could have played in the ocean and had a better chance of doing better.
Yeah, but I know they could have played water polo.
Yeah, true. But anyway, the Buckeyes now... It's that week. It's rivalry week this week against that team up north. And on this podcast and on Facebook Live, we will not say the word that is forbidden this week. And I'm not wearing that color. I'm not saying anything about that team other than the team up north. And the game opened up as Buckeyes being a 13-point favorite. It has since dropped to 11 points. Your thoughts on the Buckeyes Saturday quickly, and then we'll go on to this coming weekend with the rivalry game.
Well, first of all, it is the anniversary of your birth today. I want to wish you a very happy birthday.
Thank you.
I thank you for all you do for this station, for this show, for our podcast, and for me personally. You're a great friend, a great leader, and thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. It's the 12th anniversary of my 29th birthday.
Yes, it is. Yes. It is. And so congratulations on that. I hope you have a great day.
Thank you.
I hope Susan cooks you a big steak and gives you a massage.
Massage would be great, but I will get the steak for sure.
Okay, well, that's good. All right, so moving on to the Buckeyes. I was at Midvale Speedway's banquet on Saturday, so
what?
I did not
get
to.
You didn't even see it?
I saw about the first. See, I'm getting better because I'm correcting myself, okay?
That's awesome.
And I thank you for that.
You're
That's
welcome.
Another thing I'm thankful for this Thanksgiving.
Yeah, sweet.
For you. anyway, I saw the first four touchdowns. It was 28-0 in the first quarter before I had to leave to go to the banquet.
Yeah.
So I knew the game was over.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything.
I listened to bits and pieces, because I love listening to Paul Keels if I'm in the car and they're on. So I listened to Paul a little bit, and they weren't really concentrating on the game at all. They were really talking about other things.
Sure.
But bottom line is Illinois' injury decimated. Jeff George Jr. hurt. I'm just saying.
Jeff George Jr.
Yes, but they are decimated with injury. And even if they had everybody healthy, it wouldn't have been a game. We know that. Why Lovie Smith went there, I don't know.
He loves the town of Chicago, and they're really
close to
Chicago.
He's not going to turn. I mean, his team's...
Well, Illinois, sad thing is, Illinois really hit the skids over the last 8-9 years, and they've went downhill. Oof. You know, the Illibuck, the trophy that the Buckeyes in Illinois play for, has not left Columbus since 2008.
Well, I know.
Last time was 2000. Juice Williams, if you remember Juice Williams.
Yeah.
That's the last time Illinois beat Ohio State was 2007. And
it wasn't. Wasn't that like the champion, the year that they were real close to going to the championship and Illinois knocked them off in a game?
2007, they played for the national title.
That's what it was. Then they got beat
that
year against it, and everybody thought that was going to be the end of the season, and then they ended up getting back in. Yeah. But Illinois just decimated. Ohio State played well. We knew there's really nothing else to say. I mean, other than the fact that the 19 seniors leave, with a great class and one of the best players to ever play at Ohio State and JT Barrett.
I think he goes down as the greatest quarterback in Ohio State history. I really do. And because of he set or broke. He broke 35 Ohio State and Big Ten records in his 4 years.
I know. But you just said the key to me, honestly. You know, is a 4-year starter.
What's wrong with that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but the problem is back in the day when you had some really good quarterbacks like a Kirk Herbstreit and some other people, you they didn't play 4 years.
Why didn't
Because
they
had to sit and wait for their turn.
That's why they shows you how good he is.
Well,
he was able to overcome other great quarterbacks coming up behind him.
You're right.
You know, we had Cardale Jones that, you know, played the 3 games in the national championship year, but still JT got us to that point.
I agree with you, but let's be honest. How many colleges out there now start freshmen and sophomores? A lot.
A lot.
Right? A lot.
Sure.
Back in the day, back when we were growing up, it was a junior or senior quarterback and that was it. You had to wait your turn. Even if you were good, you still sat and you waited. The times have changed. It's just like, for example, and I know we'll talk about this later, but NASCAR. You know, they're getting out all these older drivers. Why? Because everybody wants that 18, 19-year-old kid that can come in and stay with them for 20 years. I just think that every sport is changing. It evolves.
Well, college
and it's
football
moving towards
college football
younger people.
Wants the youth in there. They know these players are coming in and they can play at 18 years old. Back in the day, kids weren't ready to play when they were 18 years old.
Yeah,
now look at Troy Smith,
I see
dude
that.
Winning a Heisman.
Yeah, yeah.
He only started 2 years at Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know, Troy Smith was a great quarterback in college.
Troy Smith played 4 years. He would have done some damage
but
to
he
those
didn't.
Records.
You know, look who he had in front of him. You know, but JT Barrett. You know, he takes over for Braxton Miller, who got hurt. And luckily, JT was there, but he came in and proved that he could do the job. So Braxton, what did he do? He changed positions to keep the best quarterback on the team on the field. Braxton knew he wasn't a quarterback. He was there out of necessity.
Braxton did exactly what he needed to do. He changed
the
wide receiver a year early.
Sure.
And JT's not going to be a quarterback
in the
NFL.
No, he's not.
So if he's going to play
at
the next level, he's going to have to do the same thing.
And he's not
positions.
Fast enough to do that.
I don't think so either.
JT Barrett, what he did at Ohio State was phenomenal. Extraordinary career, 100 touchdown passes. That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there's been the whole, well, he doesn't win the big game, blah, 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 blah. But you know what? He does what he has to do. He's been a phenomenal quarterback, as well as the rest of these seniors that were on the team. Tyquan Lewis had a great career. You know, it's amazing to see Billy Price, the center.
And he will be on an NFL roster next year.
Very easily could be a first-round pick next year.
Could be a first-round
pick. But anyway, the Buckeyes played well.
Yeah.
They're getting ready for that team up north this week, obviously rivalry week, which Urban struggled to say in the postgame. Which
rivalry week.
Yeah, he kept up.
Well, I struggle with it every year we do this. So.
But anyway,
I don't like saying rivalry
JT Barrett
week.
And the other 18 seniors go out with a win at home on Saturday, and they get ready for that team up north this week. But Buckeyes did what they had to, and we'll move on from that. Move on to Sunday in the NFL. Actually, we could rewind and go back to Thursday for a minute, but the Pittsburgh Steelers knock off Tennessee in quite impressive fashion, 40-17. Your thoughts on the Steelers real quick from last week.
Well, and I will say this before we go to the Steelers. If Ohio State doesn't bury Michigan, there's something.
Who?
Oh, I just did say
you
it,
did
didn't
say,
I?
You did say it.
Oh, we'll have to edit that.
No, we can't.
No, we can't because it's on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
If Ohio State doesn't bury them, then there's something wrong. I mean, really, I understand it's a rivalry game, and I understand
that. We thought
that
last year too, but
I understand that it's anytime you play a rivalry like this, you can throw records out the window. But if you really look at the talent on the field, this team should bury them. I mean, they really should.
I agree.
So it is what it is. I hope it happens, and then you let the chips fall where they may after Wisconsin because they already clinched the Big Ten.
They are the Big Ten East champs. They will go on to the Big Ten championship game December 2nd to take on Wisconsin, who is undefeated, and they will go into the game undefeated. They will not lose this coming weekend. But you know, Ohio State, Wisconsin for the Big Ten championship, and I honestly think if things happen the way they could happen, Ohio State's right back in it. And whether people want to believe that or not, and it's unfortunate, there's some fans out there that don't think they belong.
There's
but you know
what? Teams that are going to lose.
Sure, absolutely.
Teams in that top six are going to lose.
Sure. Teams struggle throughout the year. You get beat by the number 5 ranked team in the country handily at home beginning of the year. And then you lose a game you shouldn't lose in Iowa. I understand it.
But
I get it.
Some teams have trip up games.
That's what happens.
That's what happens.
Look at the year they won the national championship.
They
tripped up at home against a Virginia Tech team, and people wrote them off.
And they tripped
worse
up against,
than they are this year.
And they tripped up against Illinois, like we just talked about.
Sure.
You know, bottom line is there a lot of teams have trip up games. It happens. It's very hard not to have that happen. Look, Iowa's been terrible since they won that game.
Sure.
So it is what it is. But moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I thought that they finally, in the second half, first half, I think they led 16-15 or something. In the second half, they obliterated Tennessee. their offense finally looked like the offense that Steeler fans have been waiting on. They didn't really have to run the ball much with Le'Veon Bell because the pass was working so well. Thank goodness I had Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown on my fantasy team. I had 120 points between the two of them. Well, in throw in Le'Veon Bell's 12 that he got me. You know, I had 110 points or whatever between those two guys. It was pretty much a win at that point. I could have darn near benched the rest of my team. But the offense looked great. They played really well. Antonio Brown's the best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't care what anybody says. You can give me Odell Beckham Jr., whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm taking Antonio Brown right now. Le'Veon Bell is another exceptional person, and Big Ben finally played his best game of the year. If this offense puts four quarters together and they start rolling, look out. If they put four quarters together against New England, they're going to trash New England. I'll just put that out there now. But we'll see what happens. I thought they played really well against Green Bay. I'm sure they're going to trash Green Bay this week because Green Bay comes in. You realize they play five of their last six games at home?
I know.
I mean, they did all this stuff on the road. I mean, they're sitting 8-2, and they played the most road games in the NFL. I mean, I'd say that's pretty good.
I mean, they're
sitting in a real good spot right now, and ain't nobody going to catch them in the North.
And I agree. I mean, nobody. No,
it's
nobody,
not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. But you know, like you said, on the 26th, which is Saturday. No, is that Saturday? No, that's Sunday.
Yeah, it's Sunday.
They play the Green Bay, like you mentioned, it's Sunday night game again for some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're playing Green Bay on a Sunday night. I mean, I get it. If Aaron Rodgers is healthy, that's definitely a Sunday night game. But after he went down, the NFL had the choice to be able to back out of that and say, hey, no, we're just going to make this a 1 o'clock game or whatever. And they didn't do it. They left it on Sunday night. Why, I don't know. But can you imagine what – Brett Hundley looked terrible yesterday. Can you imagine what's going to happen to him with when Pittsburgh's defense comes in? Yeah. It's going
to
be ugly.
Well, let's move to yesterday and Sunday and the game between the Cleveland Browns and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville knocked off Cleveland 19-7. Jacksonville is now 7-3 on the year. The Browns are 0-10. Deshaun Kizer, let's just face the facts on Deshaun Kizer. He is not a
He's
good
terrible.
Quarterback. He's not a good quarterback. He wasn't very good at Notre Dame.
He was terrible at Notre Dame.
And to bring him into the NFL with no protection, no real – I mean, Duke Johnson's a serviceable running back. Isaac Crowell is serviceable running back.
I agree with you.
They have a wide receiver that's coming back. He starts practice with them this week, and Josh Gordon.
Oh.
Don't know how good he's going to be. He hasn't played in 3 years.
But
we'll
gosh
see.
Darn, it can't be any worse than what they've got. Corey Coleman catches a ball, Joe, 3 yards from a first down, gets up, slams the ball down, and points first down.
Yeah.
Dude, you're 3 yards short.
You know, look at Kizer's number yesterday, 16 of 32, 179 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He also had a couple fumbles in the game that they lost.
And it's
an unfortunate, actually three fumbles, two that they lost. So he was responsible for four turnovers yesterday was Kizer. There's nothing behind him, so there's not like you're going to put anybody else in. I don't care. Kessler's not the answer. Hogan's not the answer.
No, but I think they're better than he is. That's the problem.
They can't be worse, can they?
No, and I don't know. I just don't know. I said they should have kept Brock, but then you watch Brock play in Denver, and he's terrible. And Denver's not really good either. But dang it, the Cleveland Browns should have about four wins, at least three right now. They could have beat Pittsburgh, and they peed two other games away.
Let me ask you this.
This was a game yesterday. They should have won. They should have beat a good team yesterday, and absolutely look
well. Bad teams find a way to lose games, and that's what happened.
And by the way, Jabril Peppers is terrible.
And look at their running game: 5 carries, 22 yards for Kizer; 11 carries, 18 yards for Coel; and then you have 2 carries to Duke Johnson. In a game like yesterday, there was snowing, it was cold. What does the AFC North teams do when it's that way?
They pound
the football. Yeah, they don't have that.
No.
They don't have the offensive line to do that. Joe Thomas has been out for several weeks now, is out for the rest of the year. Yeah. Their offensive line is supposed to be really good, but you got two tackles that couldn't block the wind.
They got Zeitler and that other dude from Green Bay, and they have done nothing. They, you know, and not to mention, I agree. I mean, we said this a couple weeks ago. DeShone Kizer's never been able to show, even if he has some talent there and something to work on, because he has no time, he has no playmakers, he has no receivers. Now your number one pick from last year gets up and points for a first down when he's 3 yards short, which blows my mind. I picked up Josh Gordon on my fantasy team about 3 weeks ago when they announced that he was coming back. I went in and picked him up.
Do you know what happened yesterday?
Because I think that he's going to blow up. If he can stay healthy and keep his mind right, I think he could be a good addition. So now you've got him, and you go get Saquon Barkley as the number one pick. Now you've got a good runner
for him.
Well, I still think he's the answer, man. Okay. I think he's going to be a great pro.
But look what Jacksonville did yesterday to kind of salt the game away for the Jaguars. Leonard Fournette ran the ball 28 times.
Yeah, that was the most of his career.
111 yards. That doesn't seem like a good day. Didn't have any touchdowns, but guess what that did? That opened up the play-action pass to their tight end for the touchdown.
But you know,
and their defense played well. Jacksonville did what they needed to get out of there with a win.
Jacksonville's
a
decent football team.
Yeah, Blake Bortles, not a great game. He was 17 of 30, 154 and a touchdown. Took two sacks. You know, not a great game, but serviceable.
But, Joe, you know what? Jacksonville's offensive line, not that good. They're okay. Leonard Fournette is a good back.
Sure.
He's an elusive back. He can run through tackles. He can catch stuff out of the backfield. But what happens when you have a back like that? Yeah, you need an offensive line to at least be decent, but you don't need the perfect offensive line to be able to have a good run game. And I think that's why if you bring in Saquon Barkley, I think that that adds that different element. That running game opens up the pass, like you always say, Joe. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you've got Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman, who hopefully will be healthy next year.
I don't think their quarterback can get them the ball.
Well, you're right. But there's not a quarterback out there right now in the NFL draft for next year is worthy of drafting. I don't think there is.
There probably is. I mean, you got
kid out of UCLA.
You got Josh Rosen.
Sam Darnold. Darnold's terrible.
And I hate to say this, and I don't think he's a number one overall pick, but I think he would be a decent quarterback in the NFL because he's gritty and he's tough. Would be Baker Mayfield, but he's not worthy of that number one overall pick that the Browns are going to have. The Browns need to really focus from the inside out. They need to, like you said, they need to get a running game.
You got to get playmakers,
but they've really got to do their homework on this draft. They can't miss in this draft because it's going to put them back another 5 years.
What about going out and getting yourself a quarterback like they tried to
do? Nobody wants to come here.
Yeah, they do.
Who?
Oh, okay. They just had a deal set up and ready to go.
It wasn't McCarron's choice to come there.
You're right. But you know what?
As a free agent, nobody wants to come to Cleveland.
Well, as a free agent, maybe not. But maybe you need to go out there and you need to trade for somebody. You know, they could have got Jimmy G and they decided to bag that whole deal. You know what I mean? If they just would have stuck with what they had and drafted differently and not have drafted Kizer, they could have changed the whole dynamics of this team. But instead, they went after a terrible quarterback that we knew was terrible in college, and he's even more terrible now, and they're going to continue to stick with him, and it's a mess.
Well, anyway, the Browns, again, fall to 0-10 on the season.
Do they win a game?
No. I said that at the beginning of the year. Yeah. They will not win a game. Cleveland struggles at 0-10. They lose 19-7 this coming Sunday. They welcome in my Bengals, or actually they travel to Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. The Bengals right now are 8.5-point favorites on Sunday. So the they go to Cincinnati and then they got to travel all the way across country to go to San Diego. They win in either one of those games?
Probably not. No.
Okay. And then they got the Packers. They going to win that game?
Is Rodgers back yet?
No.
Because Hundley looked really bad. That could be a 3-0 ball game.
How about the Ravens?
No. And as much as I hate a Baltimore.
The Bears might be their only chance.
No, but I think Green Bay's.
No. They're not beating Green Bay.
Dude, did you see how bad Green Bay looked
yesterday? They're not beating Green Bay. And then are they going to beat the Steelers at the end of the year?
Well, of course not.
Okay, well.
Well, you know what? Unless Pittsburgh benches everybody in because they've already clinched a first-round bye.
They're not going to want to lose that game to the Browns.
Probably not.
And the Bengals on Sunday, they get past the Denver Broncos. Yes, Shannon Thomas, that's right. My Bengals beat your Denver Broncos 20-17. Andy Dalton had a decent game for Andy Dalton. 3 touchdown passes. AJ Green had a good game. Joe Mixon did well running the ball, 60 yards on the ground. But you know what? The Bengals, I don't think they're there yet.
Vontaze Perfect hugged Brock Osweiler.
Dude, I know. He had a and Burford had a good game. Yeah, I mean,
but if he plays like that and he keeps his head, he's a great ball player.
Yep. So again, Dalton was 15 of 25, 154, three touchdowns. Mixon had 50 yards rushing on 20 carries. AJ Green with a touchdown. You know, and it's nice. Tyler Croft filling in for.
He caught a touchdown.
Yeah, caught a touchdown. He's been a nice addition to that offense for Zeitler, who or not Zeitler, but Seifert that can't stay healthy. Another Notre Dame product that's a bust. So, you know, we just keep throwing those out there.
I like Tyler Eifert. I mean, I do. He's another one. I liked Eric Ebron when he first came into, and both of them have just been either injured or underperformed. And you know, I don't know what to say about that, but it's just. And what do you think, real quick, before we move on? Do you think that what do you think about the Baker Mayfield thing and the old crotch grab? Do you think that hurts his Heisman?
I don't think
should it hurt his Heisman.
It probably should, just due to the fact that it's unnecessary.
Because there's a clause in the Heisman where your on-field your conduct matters. If that's in there, this should hurt his stock.
I don't think it hurts him. He's done enough on the field to win it. I think Lamar Jackson's done enough to win it. I don't think they'll give it to him because his team's awful. But if you look at what he's done, he's planted the flag at Ohio State. That's kind of, you know, act like you've been there before. And then the crotch grabbing the other day. I don't agree with
he's turning around yelling at Kansas fans saying, hey, you better root for basketball. Yeah. And he's cussing at them.
I mean, he gets caught up in the emotion. I hate that about him. But you know what? He gets it done on the field. He really does.
Is it Johnny Manziel-esque?
No, I don't think it's
because
that
bad. Johnny got. I don't think it's Johnny did it on the field too.
I know, but I don't think it's that bad. I think Johnny was a better quarterback than Baker in college. I really do because he could do more. But Baker does a nice job. I think he wins it, but I think you know he needs to really toe the line the next couple of weeks.
Does it hurt his draft stock? I don't think it hurts his draft stock.
No way.
Is he a top 10 pick?
He's a first round pick. I don't know where in the first
round. Is he the first quarterback that goes?
No.
So you think Sam Darnold's a better quarterback?
Probably. No, I'm not saying he's a better quarterback. I think they in the NFL UCLA. You draft on talent.
And the kid from UCLA.
And draft on potential. Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold's really good. Baker Mayfield.
See it.
I know they are though. I mean, they're good. They can make the throws. The NFL looks at players that can make that far hash mark throw across the field on a dime, or the throw, or the fade to the end zone, or the back shoulder. They look at that stuff. Those guys can make those throws. Not necessarily what you did, but can you make the throw? Josh Rosen, 6'4", 225 pounds.
Yeah, he can see over the defense. Yeah.
So let's see what happens. But Baker Mayfield, not the first quarterback.
No,
probably
I don't.
Probably the third taken. But there's some other guys out there as well. We'll get into the draft.
Of course, what do I know? Because I said I didn't like Carson Wentz. The difference is if Carson Wentz goes to Cleveland, he's not doing what he's doing right now.
I agree.
That's just period.
And then let's move on. Obviously, another big thing on Sunday for you. You had the NASCAR, what is it? The
Monster Energy Series.
There we go. Monster Energy Championship. I couldn't tell you. I only know one guy that was in the final just because he won. But other than that, talk to us about that quickly.
Yes, quickly.
Quickly.
Well, of course, it was Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s last race. A lot of people
allegedly.
He's going to run some Xfinity races and stuff like that. He's going to do some lower series stuff, but he's not going to run any more Cup races. So a lot of people want to sit there and say that Dale Jr., you know, his career was not worthy of being Hall of Fame. It was, you know, it was a joke, blah, blah, blah. Here's my thing. The kid won 26 Cup races. He finished 96 times in the top five, 140 some top tens, 15 poles. He won two Xfinity championships, 14 and soon to be 15 time straight most popular driver. Those are numbers that deserve. Two-time Daytona 500 winner. It was a good career. He is a good guy. If you watch some of the videos of him talking with his dad back when he was like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, he's the same kid. You know what I mean? The same guy now. He says that has the same mannerisms, the same thing as he did back then.
Sure.
So Dale Jr.'s career ends, and one of the first drivers that he actually kind of went and grabbed and said, hey, this guy needs to be on our team. It is dad's old team, DEI, that his stepmom Teresa ran after Dale Sr. died.
Ran
into the ground. Yeah. Yes, correct. But he actually raced Martin Truex Jr. on iRacing on video games. And Truex kept beating him. And he said, well, if this guy can beat me on this, I need to bring him in and see what he's all about. So he put him in a late model, and he worked him up through the system into the Xfinity Series. He ended up bringing him to DEI, and that was where Bass Pro Shops came in and Bass Tracker Boats and all that stuff. But Truex ends up winning one race in his career at DEI in, like, I don't know, 6 years. DEI folds because Teresa ran it into the ground. Dale Jr. went the year before to Hendrick Motorsports, and it seemed like Truex's career was going to be untangling. He went to Michael Waltrip Racing, got accused of spinning out on purpose to get him into the championship. He got kicked out of the championship. He goes to the only team that's based in Denver, Colorado, that's not based in North Carolina, has a miserable first year, and then starts to build things, has all this off the racetrack stuff with his longtime girlfriend, Sherry Pollux, who has ovarian cancer and has been battling it for the last few years. He puts together a great season. He wins 9 races, and he did not have the best car yesterday, but he had to hold off Kyle Busch in a 20-lap sprint to the finish, and somehow Kyle Busch had the best car and did not win.
How was 20 laps a sprint?
I mean,
20 laps. I mean,
it's a mile and a half.
Mile and a half. So times that by 20. I mean, what is that?
I mean, I get that.
30
but,
miles.
But when you run
that a sprint, that's more than a marathon.
But when you run a 268 lap race, it ends up coming down to a 20 lap shootout.
A sprint would be like 5 laps.
Okay, I give you that. But more of the story is he didn't have a good car in a long run, and it was about a 35 lap run, and somehow he dug deep and changed his line and held off Kyle Busch, and Kyle Busch wanted to blame everybody else but himself for not being able to get around
M&M's
him.
Car?
Yeah. He's just
anyway,
Brad Keselowski was a non-factor, and Kevin Harvick had a good car early and he faded, but Truex wins the race, wins a championship.
A good driver found a way to win.
It's just a great story. And, you know, his longtime girlfriend, Sherry, who has cancer, you know, was there in victory lane with them. And it just, it was pretty cool. I was a little misty.
Somebody cut the onions on you?
Yeah, it was a very good story. So, yeah, congratulations to him. Danica Patrick announced that race was her last full-time race, but she's going to do the Danica double next year.
Really? What's that?
Well,
what's the Danica double?
The Danica double is she's going to race in the Daytona 500, and then she's going to race in the Indy 500, and she'll finish her career at the Indy 500 at the place where she made her name.
What, at the end of the pack?
Let's just say at the Indy 500, she has 7 starts in Indy 500, 6 times in the top 10. She's led quite a few laps and finished 3rd. She races very well at Indianapolis. She will be fine there.
She's dating? What's his name?
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Poor Schlepp.
Yeah.
I would. Never
would
mind.
What?
I'm not
even. Go ahead and go there, Chris.
Not saying anything.
I didn't think so.
And then also Matt Kenseth, maybe his former champion in a series, could have been his last race. Not for sure, but he doesn't have anything in the works next year. He says he's going to take a hiatus. Doesn't know how long it'll be. So another legend leaving the sport. So you've got Kenseth, Dale Jr., Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, all these guys that have left the sport in the last couple of years. Kind of crazy. And why? Because they're bringing in 18-year-old, William Byron, who won the Xfinity Series
Lord
championship.
William Byron?
Yeah. Okay. He's 18 years old. They're bringing him to run the 24 car next year. Young Chase Elliott. And the list goes on and on. So.
Well, that's why I don't keep up with NASCAR.
NASCAR's on a wrap.
It's done until when? Like January when they start again?
February.
It's like baseball.
Hey, by the way, did you know that these guys that I'm pointing to on Facebook Live,
I don't know,
these guys have won 15 games in a row?
You're right. But it's November.
And they've beat some pretty good teams, right? All three top teams in the Western Conference.
Let me explain something to you, Mr. Kale.
Explain, please.
It's November.
Birthday boy.
Okay, November.
Right.
November 20th, exact.
Anniversary of your birth canal birth?
Correct. But it's November. Let's do this when we're all going on vacation in June when it matters. That's all I'm saying. 15 games is what they have to win, I believe, to win the NBA title, right? Is that right?
4-12,
yeah.
They've won 15 in a row.
Well, I'm just saying you have to win 15 when the playoffs start.
I don't think they need to sweep all the way through.
No, you still need to win 15 games.
Sure, but I don't think they need to win them all in a row.
Let's do it in April, May, and June when it matters. Not right now.
It
doesn't matter now.
I think it does.
The Cleveland showed it didn't matter last year. They weren't the number one seed. It didn't really matter. Did it? I'm just saying. I'm happy for the Celtics. I'm happy for you, so you can celebrate and do whatever it is you do for yourself.
Hey, you know, that was a great day on Thursday. I had a great day last Thursday.
And I hated Friday night because of it.
The Steelers dominated, and we came back and beat the Warriors. Man, what a great day.
And you had to beat, and the only way you could beat the Warriors was Steph Curry's worst game of his career.
Yeah, and Boston without their second best player.
A little helps with officiating a little bit too.
Sure, sure. And Kyrie can't lead a team, and we ain't played nobody in 15 in a row.
Do it in May and in June. Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Okay,
okay.
We'll see. Hey, how many? 17.
17?
17 hanging. That's 17? All I gotta see.
Okay,
17 hanging. Fine. Working on 18. 18's on the way.
It is?
Yep.
All right. Well, if I don't see you before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving, man. Thanks for all you do. And, of course, enjoy Saturday as we celebrate hopefully another victory against that team up north. As a rivalry week is here for us Buckeye fans, and they play that team up north this week. No blue allowed, so that's my rule to myself. I do not wear blue all week. All week I will not wear blue. I even try to avoid blue jeans if I can. So,
well, I mean, if you have to, you have to.
But blue jeans are blue jeans. It's a short work week, so it's going to be pretty easy.
It is, because I work Wednesday and Thursday. I don't know about you.
I'm off Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I work Wednesday, Thursday. So, you know, while you're eating your turkey all plump on the couch, I'll be in dispatch, you know.
I'll send you pictures.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Hey, to all of our Facebook fans out there and everybody listen to the podcast.
All of our big sports fans.
Yes, absolutely. Everybody, please have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the time with your family. Be thankful.
And we'd be remiss not to mention and say our thoughts and prayers out to Terry Glenn and the Ohio State Buckeye Nation. If you haven't heard yet, Terry Glenn lost his life today in a car accident in Dallas, Texas. The wide receiver played for the Buckeyes in the mid-90s. Again, thoughts and prayers to Terry Glenn and his family and the whole Buckeye Nation and the Ohio State University as they lose one of their best. Terry Glenn died at the age of 43 in a car accident this morning.
Yeah, and played for New England. Was a great pro.
Yep. So anyway, we'll end the podcast on that, Chris. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
This has been the Internet Broadcast from Big Z Sports.